Happy New Year!
Hi guys!
2019! Welcome! It's so good to be back!
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a wild while.
It's been a minute.
It's been a tickety-booty minute. we've been away and like you guys have been away and everyone's been busy and life is crazy. So thanks for sticking your earbuds back in and listening to us. We've missed you all.
Hopefully you stuck by us.
Yeah,
are you still there? Hello.
I've been getting fan mail just
for me. Is it me you're looking for?
No, but I didn't tell you that. I've been getting fan mail just for me.
Oh, shut your face.
I mean, it's a lot of middle-aged men with their penises.
Oh, what?
On Tinder, is that not?
Do you know?
No.
Any decent pics?
One or two, but that's for me and my fans to know, not for you. But cheers, welcome back.
Cheers.
2019, it's a new year, it's a new day, it's a new dawn, and I'm feeling good.
Really?
Muse. Yes, a Muse. You know that isn't...
I know it's not Muse.
Who did the original? Can you name that song?
No. Who is it? I'm feeling... Who is it? Nina Simone.
Is it Nina Simone? Yes.
No way.
Look at you.
Oh, wow.
I think so. Oh, my God, if I'm totally wrong. Fuck, that's my cred as a Motown and blues singer.
Anyway, welcome to the Unscrew podcast.
Hey, if this is 2019 and you've never listened before and this is like, this year I'm going to listen to podcasts and you've Googled alcoholic parents and you found us,
yeah.
Then welcome. We talk about everything to do with life with an alcoholic.
We certainly do.
And that's because... Well, our lives have been affected in various ways by alcoholics. We are not an alcoholics.
We're not. We enjoy a drink.
We do enjoy a drink. Right now, I'm rocking a red wine.
I'm rocking a Amstel beer.
Not sponsored, but open to it, Amstel, if you're interested.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we're not alcoholics. We know an alcoholic. We have an alcoholic in common.
We do. We have several alcoholics. Yeah, in common. So I have loads of family members. I've known lots of friends who have family members who've passed away from alcoholism who are still living with alcoholism. Lisa.
Yeah, me.
This is Lisa, by the way.
Yeah, I'm Lisa. Hi.
If you want to address the fan mail, it's to Ellie.
No.
Ellie.
Lisa. I need more, clearly, apparently. But yeah, my mum's an alcoholic. It's fun, isn't it?
You can't see the sarcastic... tear that's falling from Lisa's eye as she says that. But yeah, it's great. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So we basically just talk about how you deal with that sort of stuff, the emotions, and we tend to take the piss a bit and make light of a gloomy, horrible situation.
Well, you have to because
you've got it, haven't you?
If you're living that life or you have lived that life or you're just intrigued, it's shit. So, and if, like, please send us in your stories, so we'll give you all the Gmail and all that crap at the end, but, like, we want to hear from you and what life is like for you. So, 2019 is going to be the year of sharing the shit, so let us know. How was your Christmas and all that jazz, New Year? Did I mention, sorry, I was in Thailand, sorry, I just wanted to check that in.
Yeah, I've not heard about it enough.
Yeah, sorry, that's partly why we've been away for a while. I was in Thailand for just a month.
Yeah.
Just a casual month over from the 11th of December to the 11th of January.
It's all right, though, because I did the month-long Thailand before Elle, many years before. She copied me.
I did.
And loads of other people who've also done the same thing.
And it was incredible. So, like, it was just, do you know, like, it's been a really stressful 18 months.
Mm.
Because if you don't know us, we have shared family in the sense that me and Lisa know each other because she's my sister-in-law or I'm her sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And, or technically not law, but whatever you want us to call it. So we've had a rough rollercoaster ride with the various family crazes this past 18 months. And so the holiday was like, do you know, it was amazing.
So you just thought... Yeah, it's been pretty shit. So, me and Gav, we're just going to fuck off and go to Thailand and just forget all about Christmas.
And we did. We forgot about everything.
And I was here, not jealous, in the slightest.
But it was amazing. And, you know, like, sometimes you do feel that selfishness when you go, I've never been away for Christmas before.
Yeah.
I've always been at home with the family and... But there's like something, I think it was...
Dreading it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because, yeah, you do.
And I think it was last year because we had Christmas in Manchester.
Yeah.
Which we'd not done for ages. We normally see my family in Wales because it's one of the only times we see them. And my niece and nephew were coming up with my sister, so their mum, from like the 27th over New Year. So on, or the 28th, so on the 27th, I was like, right, I'll go to the Trafford Centre, which is this huge fucking shopping mall.
Nightmare.
Down the road. I thought, I'll go and get them some presents after Christmas, because there's like sales.
Yeah.
And I've not really shopped in Christmas sales before.
Uh-huh.
So I went to this church shopping centre, and the first shop I walk in, it was like, I saw this hat. I was like, oh, that's a nice bobble hat.
Yeah.
Picked it up and it was £20. And the price cut in half and it was like down to £6.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Oh my God, I can get two of these hats.
Yeah.
And then I realised, like, I didn't realise how much Christmas sales, I know this sounds really naive, but I genuinely didn't realise how cheap things go.
Yeah.
So I ended up buying the kids so much stuff.
And well, you would.
Because, but genuinely, and then I was like, fuck, this is awful, because people stress about
getting
like,
to debt.
Getting
all
to
sorts.
Debt.
So they the kids have got it. Stuff on Christmas.
Yeah, and they're like, and people fucking, oh man, it's just, it really, it made me realise how this consumerist thing is really geared toward this one day. And like, it took me to have to see everything slashed to like 60-70% off. I was like, oh my God. I'm not doing this again. Like, I'm not buying. This is so stupid.
Yeah.
So that's when it was like, right, I'm just going away for Christmas. And it was so funny this year in the run-up to Christmas. And you start to see from fucking September, October, you see, like, Christmas displays and you see, like, Christmas candles and Christmas recipes and Christmas party outfits. And, like, where I would see it and I'd have this little pang of anxiety of, like, oh, fuck, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to organise this, got to buy this, got to save this amount of money.
Yeah, sure.
I felt it for a second and then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that because I'll be in Thailand.
Exactly. Like, the best thing that you could have done is gone away for a month over Christmas. Like, you know, if I didn't have a child, I too would probably do the same thing. But,
stupid,
you know,
children.
I have a child,
yeah,
so
sorry about that.
I can't really skip Christmas.
No.
You know? But what we did do, like, because now Dexter's old enough that he understands Christmas and looks forward to it and, you know, does a list for Santa, like that side of it. Like before, it's always been like he's just opened presents and not really known who they're from, or you know, the whole rigmarole of the entire situation. But this year, he sort of got it and he wrote a letter to Santa, and he asked Santa for three things, and he asked him for a scooter because his old scooter it broke like the month before, so he asked for a new scooter, and he asked for a flying remote-controlled Nemo fish.
As you need.
Yes. which you'd obviously seen on YouTube of kids playing with them, because that's what he watches on YouTube. Kids playing with toys.
Another bizarre fucking thing about
And he asked for a lump of coal.
Oh!
And I was like, why do you want a lump of coal? Like, you do realise that Santa usually reserves a lump of coal for children who've been quite naughty and who don't get presents.
Has he got a very strong sense of conscience?
No, his answer was, well, I want a lump of coal because I would like to turn the coal into, I would like to make it into toys, like what the elves do.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, bless you. So that was his letter to Santa, the three things that he wanted.
And did he get the three things he wanted?
He got the two things that he wanted. He didn't get a lump of coal.
Oh.
Because I figured, that's going to be quite messy. It's going to stain my carpet. So he's not having that. And plus, when he opens his presents, he's not going to be bothered about a lump of coal or mention it again. And he didn't. So I was right. But the two presents, the scooter and the flying remote-controlled Nemo fish helium thing, they were on the tags from Santa. And any other present that he got, they were, he knew that they were either off Mummy and Daddy or they were off...
Oh.
Yeah, because I didn't want him to get... Because, you know, he's five. We've got a big family. He's going to get loads and loads of presents. And I didn't want him to think that every single present that he's got is from Santa. Because there's some children out there who don't get, like, a lot for Christmas. So then, you know, they're going to be thinking, oh, well, maybe I've not been that good. And that's why I've only got so many presents off Santa. So he knew he got two presents off Santa, which are the two that he asked for. Well, two out of the three. And everything else were from specific people. We'd been and bought him these presents.
Oh, he's still up there. He's in bed now thinking, why didn't I get that coal?
Where's that coal?
Was I that bad that I wasn't even allowed coal? just buy him a lump of gold instead.
But we had a lovely Christmas because this year, like I say, he got it and he opened his presents, and every time he opened one present and he knew it was off, like Mummy and Daddy came straight over, so he's like, thank you so much, giving us kisses. This is the most perfect Christmas.
Aww.
And it, honestly, it was the loveliest Christmas morning. Like, we had such like a nice time.
There's this cool thing that my mate does with her kid who's like 7, and they've done it for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And they get to give the kid the chance to give a present for Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
So they pick like a charity or like a toy drive or whatever, and he gets to pick either one of his toys.
Yep.
That's like good enough to give away, or they get to buy something like a cheap toy and he gets to give that present.
See, we do that with Dexter.
Oh, do you? I think that's such a nice thing to do.
But we do it each year before Christmas and before his birthday. We go through his toys and he does it with us, and we ask him to pick things that he doesn't play with anymore.
Aww.
And that would be nice to give to other little boys and girls who don't have that very many toys.
Oh, that's so good.
So he picks things up and he helps us. I also do a little bit more when he's in school, so he doesn't know I'm getting rid of a load of stuff, but he does get involved and I'll let him pick certain things, and then they go to like the charity shop or
oh my
wherever.
God,
yeah.
Have you watched as well? Because I've actually thought of you. So when we were in Thailand, there was like a few occasions where we were so hungover or so exhausted from traveling that we just like lie in bed for the afternoon or whatever and watch Netflix or something on the telly.
Yeah.
If where we were staying had a telly or watch on my tablet.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this new show on Netflix called Tidying Up with oh my god, is it Tidying Up with Marie Kondo?
I can't remember
Kondo or something.
I've seen the trailer, but I haven't actually watched it yet.
Okay, so my sister had mentioned it to me,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that sounds like the most boring, and it is fucking stupid, but she does this amazing, she's this tiny little woman, and she's just so like sweet and lovely and really sincere, but she does this thing where it's like, if you handle an object, the first thing she does is get everyone to pile their clothes onto a bed when they're thinking of getting rid of stuff.
Yeah.
And the way you get rid of stuff is you pick it up and you have to, the object has to spark joy. Does it spark joy?
Oh.
So you pick something that definitely brings you joy that you know.
Yeah.
So if you've got like a jumper that you love and you're like, oh yeah, I love this jumper.
Yeah.
Like, oh yes, this is, she's like, everything you handle in your house
has to
that
have
you keep
the same.
Should give you that spark of joy.
Right.
Like, and if you're not sure, that's fine, you keep it or whatever, but like, but it's all about like that sense of like, this made me think about it, the giving and the Christmas and the toys, because she does it with her kids and like those, they learn to do it with their kids. Does it spark joy for you? And if not, let it go. But it's also about like the consumerism side is like, you'll stop buying so much.
Yeah.
If you like, don't have that connection with it.
Yeah, sure.
And it's so lovely. Like, the concept is so, it's such a sweet, I mean, it's a very good hangover TV or very good, like, cannot be asked to get off the couch.
If you're just looking for a new exciting series, probably not the one.
It's not. It's more like the thing you watch to warm up to watching something intense on TV.
Yeah. Something that your brain doesn't really need to sort of do that much work.
Yeah, it's just, but it's like, we're going to move house in the next couple of weeks. And, we've started to like look at our stuff and we're like, we're definitely going to do the Marie Kondo. Does it spark joy?
Yeah.
Does it? Because it's, you do attach these like feelings to it. And
you should take that with you next time you go to a charity shop and buy a broken shoe cupboard thing or whatever it was. Did that spark joy in you, Elle?
It did. And I can't wait to have that back. Don't even start me on it. Anyway, so back to the podcast. So this is about alcoholics.
It's not about tidying up.
No.
Or Christmas.
So I'm starting this week.
Yep.
Because we already decided I'm starting this week because it's fresh in my mind. So
what you got for us?
So I posted on Instagram a couple of months ago about I was going to do the 100 days sober.
Yes,
so
you did.
I made it to like 50 days.
It's commendable.
Thank you.
Very commendable.
And in that time, I did have like 2 days where I drank. So, but I just wanted to talk a tiny bit about if you're like me.
Yeah.
And you're not an alcoholic, but you are concerned a little bit about your drinking sometimes, mm-hmm. or you drink too much, especially when you're, if you have mental health problems or if you suffer with depression, anxiety, you use it as a tool to
get you through.
Help like, measure it out. Yeah. It's almost like a medication.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've realized my situation is. So I just wanted to chat because I listened to this podcast, which I really enjoyed, and I want to share it with everyone. Now I've kind of come out the other side of that experience.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was post on Instagram, and someone recommended this podcast for me to listen to, which I'll tell you about in a bit. And it's called the Naked Mind podcast.
Okay.
So one of the first episodes I listened to was about deciding to try being sober.
Yeah.
And it really resonated with me. So one of the first things that I found was interesting was when I would say to people, mm-hmm. oh, I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking, I'm being sober. Like with my groups of friends or whatever it was like always met with like a, oh, okay, why? Like that's, you're not an alcoholic.
Yeah.
What's the... Why?
Like, what's the problem?
You don't need to...
Yeah.
Okay. And it's sort of like it brought this sense of like uncomfortableness, mm-hmm. especially if it was in a social situation where there was alcohol.
Yeah.
For me, it was also like, fuck, I want to drink so bad. Well,
yeah, you would.
So in this podcast, one of the first things she says is just like, just fucking try it. Try a night out just to start with where you would normally definitely drink. Like you can always go and drink, fine, but just try it.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, go on.
But I think as well, when you were saying, like, if you went on a night out with your friends and you were like, oh, I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah, because it brings in this thing of you, like, well, why not? Are you not fun anymore?
Yeah.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah.
Are you on antibiotics?
But also...
Or do you have a deeper problem
that
we don't know about and it's uncomfortable and we don't want to address that now because we want to have a good night?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly. That is what it is.
And I feel like sometimes part of it felt almost as if like they thought I was judging them somehow for drinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, seriously, I do not have the space in my brain to like, I would be drinking beer with you.
Yes.
So she was on this podcast, she was saying, just go out, just like have one normal night where you mm-hmm. would go out normally in a situation and just see if you can put yourself through it.
Yeah.
And fucking hell, it was so funny. I went with my partner and my flatmate, had a few drinks at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, let's go to the pub.
It's really funny when you're sober and everyone else
Holy
is pissed,
shit.
Isn't it? It's funny, but then it gets really annoying.
Well, that's what... So they'd walked to this pub and I was at home. I think I was doing some work or whatever. It was like a Saturday kind of afternoon. They'd just gone to the pub to mm-hmm. sit outside and have a few drinks. And I walked down to meet them about 2 hours later. And I went to the bar and I got them both a beer and I had like a fucking fizzy pink lemonade or whatever.
Yeah.
Came back and sat with them. They were on like their third pint, so they were a bit like third or fourth, I can't remember. They were a bit like pissed, but not drunk. And what struck me the most was the short term memory.
Yeah, it's bad.
I know the Monsall, which is Lisa's.
Yeah, right, mine is terrible.
Yours and Gavin, your brother. The short term memory loss.
Shocking.
So they started on this subject basically of I can't, like a band or something they were talking mm-hmm. about, and they were like having this sort of debate, like, oh no, but this and this and this, and they were, and then they agreed, and then, but you know, this and this and this, and they go back and they do the same thing. And after an hour, I was like, how are we still talking? And like, I couldn't believe how boring it was.
But if you were drunk with them, you would be in on that conversation.
Oh my God. So then we started walking home after a couple of hours. And then the same thing happened again,
mm-hmm.
but about a different thing. Repeat. And then we get home, and it's just like they really. It's like you. But people see when they're drunk, and this happened a few times on a few different nights out.
Yeah.
When I was not drinking, and the observations I made with that, people become very impassioned.
They're very, very passionate about it. Whatever it is, it can be absolute shite.
Yes,
but you are the most passionate person in the world about that shite.
Exactly.
Completely.
Yeah.
I know. Because
it's like this bunch of flowers.
I admit I am like that, and you know, we all know that I'm like that, but at the same time I have seen that as well, because obviously I've been pregnant and been out like early stages and not told anyone. I'm like
the only time I've not drunk
I'm
when I've been pregnant.
Antibiotics. But there was a time like many years ago, like before I was with my husband, I've done it a couple of times since we've been together, like early on, but way before I was with my husband, I didn't drink for a really long period of time.
Oh really?
Yeah. And it was mainly because of my mum, when I was like, I'm going to be her. I'm just not doing this.
No, it's fine. Have another brandy.
Yeah. So I used to drink just tonic water when I went out, because I quite like a gin and tonic.
The most boring of drinks.
No, but I've liked gin and tonic for...
Bit of lime?
Like, for many years. Oh, yeah, with a bit of lime in it, whatever. But yeah, I used to drink tonic water when I went out, because it... Before gin was as big as it is now, it was literally Gordon's gin. So, sorry, no offence. But, you know, there was the generic gin everywhere, and that was all you got with tonic. You know, there was no fancy schmancy stuff that there is now.
Botanical gin.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just drink tonic water, and I'd feel like I was having a drink, but I wasn't. So I've been privy to many, many situations like that where I've been sober and I'm like, that's me when I'm drink. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck are you all doing? Mm-hmm. You're a mess. Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Yeah.
And it becomes, at first it's funny, and then it's just really fucking annoying and boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I've done that many a time.
And then that's what tied into was I started to feel like I didn't have a connection with my friends when we'd go out. So it would often be like, if you get a bunch of people together to hang out, mm-hmm. do you hang out to socialise or do you hang out to drink? Do you know what I mean? So
I think it's both.
Yeah. So, but that those things are so, when you build those friendship groups, that's so heavily based around that intrinsic thing of mm-hmm. drinking and going out, even if it's just going to your local for like a couple of pints or after work, whatever. I began to feel like at first I was like worried that we didn't have a connection anymore because they kind of like,
well, you wouldn't be invested in what they were talking about as much as they were invested in.
And it's kind of like, I think the alcohol is like a, it's almost like a, it's like a, what's the word?
Not a lubricant.
Yeah. I was going to say a buffer, but it's a lubricant. It's a lubricant. Yes, and it is. And you get onto that and you become like that impassioned and things become easier. And it started to, it was very odd, like that social. And it was, so it was a really, those, the first month I think I did it was a really, it was just, it was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was really fucking hard.
Yeah.
And I hated it. But it was really good to realise, like, those situations that I don't have to do it.
Yeah, sure.
But the reason why I did it, as I said, is because I feel like sometimes I use alcohol as a crutch or to...
As many people do.
Yeah, exactly. And the one of them, the last key thing I wanted to say about this podcast you mentioned is that there's no... So this woman who hosts this podcast, I'll get her name and stuff up now in a second. She was really concerned about her drinking, so... When she decided to quit, she's sober.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to go to like an AA meeting,
right?
But they were like, "You're not an alcoholic."
Okay.
So she was like, "At what point? At what stage?
When
right,
does that happen?
Do I have to get to before I can say that I have a problem with my drinking?"
Yeah.
Because, and that's where I sit, and that's why it really resonated with me, is because I can't say I'm an alcoholic because I'm not.
No, am I just a social drinker who relies on it a little bit, but am I just a functioning alcoholic?
Yeah.
Or am I a full-blown alcoholic? Yeah, like, where is that?
Because
line?
At what point do I ask for help? Because there is no, like, intermediate...
It's,
you know,
either you're full throttle,
yeah,
bang on, absolute alcoholic, or you're sober and there's nothing...
Mm. And it made me think about...
Just blurred line in the middle, isn't it?
And it made me think about that excuse that people use before, like, you know, I have my family members, you've got your mother, I have... there must have been points in their drinking before they were completely incapacitated, before they were completely... Where they were like, I think I've got a bit of a problem. But it wasn't enough of a problem. Because when it's... If you say to someone, like me, saying, I think I've got a bit of a problem with alcoholic, it's often met with... You're fine. You're an alcoholic. Yeah. You don't wake up and drink. You don't wake up and... So it was like just taking that bit of time for myself to really go like, whoa, I probably do drink too much. I probably...
It's interesting though, because I think with people like me and you, and probably a lot of listeners, because they're going to be aware of addicts and alcoholics, because... You're generally going to listen to this podcast because you know what we're talking about. You're caring for an addict or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're going to recognise and also worry about those signs. Is this a sign? Isn't it a sign? You're going to worry about those things, but I think the general day-to-day person probably doesn't. And that would probably be when it fluctuates and goes to the extreme and then you become the alcoholic. I think for us, in a sense, we have...
We have that little voice.
We have a little thing, don't we? So we're going to think, hang on, is this all right? Maybe it isn't. Maybe I need to...
Or it could be the other way when you're like, well, I'm not as bad as my mum.
It could be. And then it could also go like, arse up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was... I managed that amount. I managed half of it, basically, and then I began drinking. But what I've noticed, the changes since then, is Okay, I'm a bit off track at the moment because I went on holiday... And in Thailand.
I think you're allowed. It's fine.
But I have felt more confident in not drinking in social situations. That's what I was going to say. And like, there's also been friends who, there's certain friends who I drink with a lot.
Yeah.
And we've both, I've said to them, do you know what? Actually, I don't fancy drinking. They've been like, me either. So we've hung out without drinking, which has been really lovely, and to like discover those boundaries. So if that's something you feel like is you, because I know that it affects a lot of people, especially if you're like thinking, oh, I'm not an alcoholic because I'm not my parents or I'm not this person, but I do rely on it. So it's called, let me just find it. It's on all of the normal like podcast, blah, blah, blah. So it's Annie Grace. And I think it started off as a YouTube channel, but it's on YouTube. It's called This Naked Mind Podcast. It was recommended to me by one of our listeners on Instagram. And she says, she basically just every week she chats about something different. And she says all about just exploring alcohol in our lives and our culture.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to want to be sober or anything like that, but it's a really interesting place to go and listen to, like, why do I drink that much?
Yeah.
So if you're into it, check it out. I really recommend it. Mm-hmm. So Annie Grace.
I just want to touch on something as well that you mentioned like earlier on, like when you were saying like you're out with your friends and you're sober and they're drinking, you're like, do we really have anything in common? Like is that real or is it just like a social, we're pissed and everything's great, we love each other because we're drunk and we're passionate and it's fine. And I do genuinely think that for everybody, there will be people,
certain friendships,
that who you go out with and you get drunk with and you have a fantastic time, but then if you go out with them and then you're sober, and that probably happens, like I'm not just saying from like the other way around as well, if they were sober and I was drunk or whatever, but if you're sober in like say a group of eight people who you go out with quite a lot, there's probably going to be one or two that you're going to be like, I don't actually know if I have anything in common with you.
100%.
But there will be a lot of your friends there who you can just go and chill in the house with and not drink and have cups of tea and you're great. You still, everything's fine. But there will also be those few people where you're like, actually, I don't actually like you.
And that's like, especially was true in this experiment I did, essentially, how I treated it was like an experiment.
Yeah.
Was with people who I'd gone to university with who are still dear friends of mine.
Yeah.
But because our friendship was formed
in a social environment
around alcohol, essentially, that's how we all got to know each other and like sleep with each other and fight with each other and whatever it was.
Everything.
Like that was one of the toughest, the more tough crowds, essentially, because it was, but it's been nice to, I don't know, to try to challenge those relationships and like see, you know, and also you're that kind of person. I think you're a certain, I am anyway, when I'm pissed, I'm like the fun loving, the fun happy go lucky. And sometimes when I'm not drunk, I think I feel like I don't have as much confidence to be myself.
I think most people will feel that though. I'm way more confident if I've had a drink. I don't need to be drunk, but if I've had a couple of drinks, I am a lot more confident. Like,
Is that why we drink when we do this podcast?
No, I think we just drink when we do this podcast because it's ironic. Or we think it's ironic.
We think it's ironic.
Really, we just like alcohol.
Yes, and we're not drunk.
But we're, no.
I'm not drunk.
I'm not drunk.
I'm
We're tipsy.
No, I'm not yet.
No, not yet.
But awesome. So that was what... So anyway, if you're interested, This Naked Mind by Annie Grace, have a listen. I really recommend it. Little episodes. She's great. So that was my chitter chatter for after coming back from drinking alcohol every day.
That's
for 30
really good.
Days.
I'm definitely going to listen to that because that sounds really interesting.
It's really good. Really good. And the titles, I love it when a podcast title is really explanatory.
Yeah.
When they're fact-based. When it's like
is this and this. Where is she from?
I think she's American.
Right.
But some American podcasts sometimes I feel are a bit like overkill. She's very chill. So she's like, the episodes are sort of like alcohol-free challenges, when I lose my sense of confidence when I drink, why don't I get bad hangovers, how do I deal with loneliness if I'm not drinking, how do I deal with alcohol triggers. So they're really like good.
It sounds really good.
If you are an alcoholic, like, have a listen. As I said, she's probably, she doesn't describe herself as being an alcoholic, but
also, but if you're a recovering alcoholic, I imagine that would be a fantastic thing to listen to, because you will have gone through those situations and you're probably questioning different things that she's going to be talking about.
So thank you for the listener. Was I think it was Nick Malone, she recommended it, so thanks Nick, it was great lesson, and I'm recommending it to you listeners.
Right, so my bit isn't anything that I've read or listened to or anything like that. My bit is basically just an update on my situation with my mum.
Oh, yeah. So if you've not been listening before this, as we said, Lisa's mum's an alcoholic.
So I am an ACOA, or an adult child of an alcoholic, as we like to be called.
And listen,
or not like to be called, yeah. But we're known as, probably.
No, you should be proud.
Oh, yeah.
Wear it like a badge of pride.
Maybe we should sell pin badges.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Merch idea.
Merch, ACOA. Me too, hashtag. Oh,
hashtag, we get a trend.
Yes. No, well, if you haven't listened, listen back, but... in the last episode, you were telling us about how your mum was sober for... How long has she been sober for?
A year and a half.
Year and a half, which was the longest in 20 years?
22 years.
22 years, yeah. Uh-huh. So we were all, like, pro-go Lisa's mum.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then she had a bit of a fall off the wagon.
Yes. So the last time I spoke about it, it was, like, she had a lapse and we were... helping her out. Me and my brother were like going round and saying, you know, we give you all the help and support. I had her staying at my house with me, and yeah, so it was a lapse as what we thought it was. It was like a brief thing for a few days, and
oh, if only we'd had a crystal ball,
and that was it, she was gonna be fine. And then,
and how is she now?
Pissed, probably. Excuse me. So yeah, since then, she has consistently drunk.
She has left the wagon far behind.
Way.
The wagon has been and gone.
Yeah.
She couldn't find her ticket.
No.
It is long but fast. No. The horses have galloped by.
She's not catching up to that. So, yeah, it's been, quite a few months now of her carrying on drinking.
Mm. She's so full on back alcoholic.
She's well back alcoholic, that's it. Lost her job. Probably going to lose her flat. It's a dire situation right now, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, initially I was still trying to help her out and giving her, like, pep talks over the phone. You can do this. I'll help you. We can
get through
it. The
classic ACOA behaviour.
Yeah, like, doing everything I possibly can. Like, my brother, after the first time, he was like, I'm going to help her. I'll do this, I'll do that, the other. And then Gav was like, when she was just consistently lying and kept getting found out, Gav was like, yeah, faultless. I'm done. But me, going back to my patterns of behaviour, is like, no, please, I can help you. We can work it out.
Mummy!
Please come back to me. But the thing is, I think more so, a lot of it was to do with the fact that I felt stupid when she started drinking again. Like, I felt like an idiot.
Yeah.
Not because of, like, her, like, bluffing me or lying to me, because I know when that woman is lying. I know her patterns. I know everything. More, I would feel like she made me like an idiot to other people. Mm-hmm. Because I'd been her champion for a long while when a lot of other people had been like, nah, it's not going to last. And I'm like, no, that's it now. She's done. She's not going to drink again.
Yeah.
And then this happened and I was like...
She has seatbelted into that wagon.
I was like, shit, I just look like a dick again. Because I obviously constantly get asked by family and friends, how's your mum? And it's, you know, it's great when you're like, she's... fantastic, she's 9 months sober. Oh, she's a year and a half sober. It's great, you know. And then it's like, oh, she's drinking again. And no one wants to have that conversation with you. When they're asked, they're being polite more than anything else.
Hey, now then.
Not you.
Thank
but like,
you.
I'm just talking, like, generally speaking, a lot of people, it's more of a curtsy. Oh, how's your mum doing? She's all right.
Yeah.
And if you go, oh, actually, no, that you can see it on their face. They're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and if you're a courtesy asker and you're listening, just, like, fucking ask and listen. Don't be a courtesy list. Like, it's so fucking shit when people do that. Isn't it, though?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Fuck you, courtesy listeners.
Yeah, fuck off. But yeah, anyway, so she's been drinking for like quite a few months now. She's well off the wagon. It's not going to change. There's no hope at this point. So it got to a point where I was super, super, super stressed out about everything. Cause I'm thinking, I've got to help her. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I need to get her back on track. Cause if I don't do it, no one else will. It's on me. It's all on my shoulders. Cause that's how I feel about the situation or how I felt about the situation.
That's your modus operandi, isn't it?
And no one else puts it on me. I put it on me, I know that.
Yeah.
But it's a pattern, and I can't help it. So I just, that's where I go to.
Mm.
So before you guys went away to telling, like, I had a massive fucking breakdown about the entire situation, and I was like, you know what? I realized then, you're really fucking depressed about all this. You need to, like, you need to sort yourself out before you can help any fucker else.
Good advice.
I know. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
no, really, that is really fucking good advice. Yeah.
So, straight away, I sorted out therapy again. So, I'm going once every 2 weeks. And,
is that your CBT?
I love it. No, it's not CBT this time.
Psychoanalytic.
Yeah.
Now we're cooking on gas.
So yeah, it's a different therapist. I've not seen him before, and it's the first male therapist I've ever had as well.
Yeah, I've never had a male therapist.
First one, he's great.
What's his name?
John.
And oh yeah, I bet it is. It's not. That's his code name.
No, he's called John. He's like 50 odd.
Okay.
And he's lovely, and it's really helping. Like I can't say it isn't. Yes. Like I'm having a great time. I'm really, really enjoying it, and I feel. I honestly feel like every single time I go, I'll come out and I'm just like so much lighter.
Oh, yeah.
But I think one of the major turning points that happened was with my son, Dexter, because mm-hmm. he got used to, well, because before my mum was sober for as long as she was.
And how old is Dexter?
Dexter's five.
He's five, yeah.
So before she was sober, he didn't really know her. At all.
Yeah.
He probably only met her like a handful of times because I didn't really want him to be involved in that or that whole business. And then when she got sober and she sort of got her life on track and she was doing brilliantly, I was like, well, yeah, why not? Like, you know, let's let them sort of form a relationship and stuff. And so they did. And he used to see her once a week. And he got really used to seeing her once a week. And then obviously when this happened, she fell back off the wagon and started drinking again. I had to stop that contact because I'm not going to let my child go through that. So initially it was like, what do I tell a five-year-old?
Yeah.
About his grandma, who now he's not seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, for quite a few weeks, I'm like, oh, she's poorly. So she's not coming down. Because that was just panic, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I need to figure out what I'm doing before I figure out what to do with the situation with my child.
There's no Santa Claus to replace a drunk grandmother.
There is not, is there? Maybe we should, like, make one. Yeah. I don't know. Make a new tradition. But, yeah, so then there was... I was thinking, oh, he's fine. You know, it's like, she's poorly and she can't come down or whatever. I can sort of play that out a little bit, like, for a while at least. And then there was literally just one day I was walking into school and we were chatting about maths because he loves math.
So, nerd!
Yeah, but he's so clever. Anyway, so we were doing math sums on the way to school and then all of a sudden he just stopped and just absolutely burst into tears. And he was hysterical. And I thought there was something extremely wrong with him. I was like, Dexter, what's wrong? What's wrong? Did your stomach hurt? Like panicking, like mad. So what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And he was like, what day is it? I was like, it's Wednesday. And he was like, is grandma picking me up from school today?
Oh, no.
And I was like, my heart sank. Oh, I was like, no.
The normal day she would go as a Wednesday?
Wednesday. I was like, no, sweetheart. I was like, she's not very well, is she? So she can't come down.
Oh.
So he was like, you're like that hysterical when you're breathing. He's like, like,
oh,
and
no.
He was like, well, if she's not well, we can go to the hospital and we can see her and I can take her a picture. It'll make her feel better.
Oh.
And I was like, darling, I'm so sorry. I was like, she's not in hospital. Like, it's not like, you know, if we went to see granddad or grandma or, you know, anybody else, a family member who's seen in hospital, like, she's not in a hospital, so we can't go to the hospital. He's like, but I don't understand. Why can't I see her if she's not well?
Yeah.
So I was like, listen.
What the fuck did you say?
I just said to him, listen, I was like, I can't explain it to you right now. I said, but she's not well, and that's why you're not seeing her. I said, but I promise you, me and Daddy, we will sit down and we'll have a full conversation about this and we'll explain everything to you and make it a lot clearer.
Oh, God.
So he was like, okay. And he calmed himself down and he was fine. He was a bit quiet, but he was all right. So I immediately got back from dropping him off at school, phoned my husband because Joe was working away. Say,
phoned my therapist.
No, phoned Joe because he was working away.
Your husband.
And he wasn't back until like late. This was like the Wednesday. He wasn't back until late Friday night. And I'm like, Saturday, we've got to sit him down and have a conversation with him. We've got to figure out on Friday night when you're home what we're going to say to him.
Fuck.
So anyway, so he didn't mention it for the rest of that week. And on the Saturday, we sat him down and we basically decided to say, we didn't want to say that she was an alcoholic and get into a whole alcohol situation and what happens when you drink and stuff like that, because he's five.
If you're interested in talking to your kids about alcohol, check out episode eight.
Anyway, so yeah, we figured that he's five. He's not going to understand that. He's a clever kid, but he's not going to understand the ins and outs of everything. So we had to come up with another way of saying it. So we basically just said to him, look, listen, grandma isn't very well, like we said. You know, she's not well, but she's not poorly where she's in a hospital and you can go and visit her. And he's like, well, what do you mean? Is she in her house? We were like, yeah, she's in her house. So he was like, right. So can't we just drive to her house and I can see her at her house? So we were like, no, we can't. Basically, what it is, she's poorly, but the reason that she's poorly is because she makes herself poorly. She does something that makes herself not very well. And when she's like this, when she's not very well, she's not very nice to mummy and daddy. So we don't want to see her right now until she's better. So, right. And he was like, oh, okay. He was like, so would she not be very nice to me? So we said, we can't say whether she'd be nice to you or she wouldn't be nice to you because we don't know. But what it is you've done nothing wrong. She loves you. That is nothing to do with it. But she has, you know, this issue and she makes herself poorly. And there isn't anything that we can do to stop it. There isn't a doctor will not fix it either. She has to fix it herself. And until that happens, we won't be seeing her anymore. And he was like, okay. He was like, will I ever see her? And we were like, I can't tell you whether you will or whether you won't. But for right now, none of us will be seeing her.
Oh my gosh. And he was
like, okay. And he actually took it like quite well, because we thought we can't lie to him. We've got to be honest with him sort of about what's going on, but we can only be so honest because it would get too in depth and he wouldn't follow what we were saying. So we had to do it quite simply so that a 5-year-old could sort of understand.
I mean, and you say simply, but that's still quite in depth. But
it is.
But kids are fucking smart.
Yeah.
They're intuitive. They know. But like you said, he cried.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he knew.
I don't know if I actually said what he said. Did I tell you that he said, like, I know he said, why am I not seeing him? Did I tell you that he said, does she not like me? Did I say that?
No.
Yeah, that was what it was.
Does she not like me?
He said, did she not like me anymore? Is that why I can't see her? So when we had this conversation, we had to reiterate, it's nothing to do, it's nothing, don't ever think she doesn't like you. It isn't that, I promise you, it's not that. Like, she loves you. She's just not very well. And the reason she's not well is because she makes herself unwell. She does something that makes herself unwell. And until she's better, like, you know, we won't be seeing her.
Well fucking done you.
And he was all right. We said to him, you know, do you have questions? He asked us a few things. We answered them as best as we could. And we've said to him, don't ever think that you can't not mention her to us. You can ask us questions whenever you want. Like, it's fine. And he was like, okay. And then he just went back to playing with his toys. And that was that.
But for you, that's quite a big step in the way in which you've dealt with it.
It's massive.
Because normally you would not be that.
No.
That feels like kind of you're settling on it in a final way. As opposed to in the past, you've kind of been like, ooh, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ooh, you know. But
yeah, but I think, and the main reason for that is because of the way that my son reacted and him breaking down the way that he broke down and was asking, like, is it my fault? Does she not like me? And he's five. And I was like, I'm not going to let my child go through what I went through. And this is the start of it. Like, so now I have to cut that off. And that's it. Like, there is no more. Because even if she got herself sober, me and my husband Joe have spoke about this many times, even if she got herself sober, and even if she stayed sober for 3 years, I still have to go, no.
Well, you took a fucking risk last time.
That's it now. There's no contact, because there's no guarantee that you're going to stay sober, and I am not willing to allow you to hurt my
child. And I think
it
has to get to the point where Dexter has to be, your son has to be, like, when he's older, and if he's a bit more emotionally, like, if he gets to his teenagers and he's like, I want to know if your mum is still here,
exactly,
then...
Exactly, and I would never, ever, ever stop him
and
from doing that.
And then, yes,
like,
you
yeah,
go and
fine.
See what it is, and, like, you know...
Yeah, and but for now, I don't want to confuse him and have him, like, upset and thinking, like, she doesn't like me. What have I done wrong? Like, I'm not willing for that. I'm not putting that on my child.
And you said before about how you felt good about this decision, though, right? Which I thought was fucking super positive and super amazing for you to come through. Because normally you beat yourself up and you have all this guilt and all of this shame about, like... But you've, like, really drawn a line.
Yeah, that line is... deep.
That line is alongside the wagon.
It is.
Why the fuck do people say fall off the wagon?
I don't know.
You said it like 6 times. If you know why people say fall off the wagon.
Yeah, let us know.
We've fucking
no idea.
But yeah, I think you seem to have...
It's like Christmas though this year. Like Christmas, this is the first Christmas where...
Because this was before Christmas that she...
This happened before.
Fell off the...
The last time I actually...
Hyundai.
The last time I spoke to her was in October, I think. Around October time. Properly, that was the last time I spoke to her properly. But yeah, so this is the first Christmas where I've not felt incredibly guilty or worried. I've either been talking to her at the time of Christmas, and I've been just worried that, oh, it's Christmas time, everyone wants to be merry. Will it happen? Will she start drinking? Is she going to be a nightmare? You know, what if sort of thing. Or... it's Christmas and I'm not talking to her. And I've been, oh, that's really sad though. Imagine waking up on your own on Christmas Day. And because like my husband has always said to me for years, you have too much empathy. You think about how that person feels and not how it affects you. And I'm guilty of that. I've done that for many years. And this is the first Christmas where I've not been talking to her. And I didn't think about her. I didn't think on Christmas Day, shall I send her a text just saying, Happy Christmas. I hope you're okay. Like, that didn't even... I didn't even think about it and go, no, don't do it. Like, don't be daft. I just didn't think about it. Which is massive.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely massive for me.
But it's good for you.
Oh, it's fantastic for me. Way better. Like, even,
because in the past you were, like, when she was in this state, you, like, would be paying her mortgage...
Yeah.
And buying her booze.
Yep.
Cleaning up after her, taking her to doctor's appointments. You'd be that enabling behaviour, which now you're just like... I mean, you've done it all before. And there's no judgment if you're in that place right now and you're enabling that. Like,
no,
there's
I get
no
it.
Judgment.
Like, we get it.
But you had to go through that to be
to
able
get where
to...
I am now.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely.
But like, you've earned that ACOA badge.
I'm going to get that pin.
Merch coming soon.
But yeah, I'm like... comfortable and happy with like where I am now with that entire situation, and I can quite honestly say I don't think about her on a day-to-day basis. Like, it would not even day-to-day basis, it was probably like 3-hourly basis. I think, what's she doing, is she all right? Whether she was sober or she wasn't, that would be my constant thought. And I've slept a lot better. I've had insomnia for many, many, many years. Don't get me wrong, I still don't ever get a full night's sleep, but I have definitely slept better recently.
And like, if there's people out there listening going like, how the fuck did you do that? How do you get to that place where you like let it all go and you don't have that guilt and you don't feel shit about it anymore and you can sleep at night? Like, what would you say is like one of the...
I wouldn't say that I couldn't say it's this. This is what
God
happened.
Damn it, Lisa!
Because there's no answer,
there's
Ellie.
No answer.
There isn't. Everyone else's situation is different.
Yeah, this podcast should be called There's No Answer.
There is no answer. I couldn't pinpoint, like, I didn't do anything particular this time. I think the only thing that really struck a massive chord in me was my child.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't keep doing this. For his sake, But then in doing that, I sort of realised, yeah, I can't keep doing it for my own sake either.
Yes, yeah.
But that was the thing that made me realise it more than anything else. And obviously therapy helped. Like, I'm, you know, big advocate of therapy. Go for it. Like, yeah. You know. But yeah, I think that was like the start of it. And then from that, it made me realise, well, no.
What, like you were seeing yourself in your child?
Yeah, definitely. Because I've been that child and I don't want that for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can stop that for him at this point. So I was like, right, I've got to do that.
So it like empowered you to do it for yourself.
Yeah, but then also realising my life is better without that woman. Like, it just on a day-to-day.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes. Cheers to that. No, really, I'm really, really proud of you because that's fucking awesome and it's so hard. And, like, if you are listening to this and you are in that fucking boat, we know what that boat or wagon, however you want to phrase it. Like, we know what it's like to be in and, like, especially it's been your life for so many years and I'm just...
Yeah, and it, I mean...
But also what I love, Lise, I have to say, is that we talked about this podcast... On this podcast, about the first few episodes, we talked a lot about self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea that you have to put yourself first.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, care about you before you can worry about the alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like what they say on, you know, like, planes, when they say, like, that if the oxygen masks come down, you have to put your mask on before you put it on your children.
Or RuPaul, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Yes. But no, if you can't...
I know what you're saying.
Give yourself the oxygen, you can't. Give your kids if you're dead. So it's kind of that thing of, like, you've really... I don't know, it's just really nice to hear you just take care of yourself and put yourself... And, like, fuck what that does to other people. You're putting yourself first and, like...
Exactly.
And it's not an easy place. It's not.
No.
It's not like, oh yeah, fuck my mother, I don't care, fuck my father, it's not. Fuck my husband, my wife, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, so I'm just really proud of you. I commend you. So,
thank you. Thanks, mate.
Yeah. I really think it should be your face on a badge. And we'll sell them for $24.99.
With a bottle of wine in my hand.
But yeah, so we will keep you updated. We will keep the listeners going.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you are going through a similar situation, like, send us in. Let us know. We want to know all about your shitty situations and your difficult lives. And
before we give you, like, the social media deets and stuff to send us those stories, I'm going to read us a Just for Today quote.
Oh, yes. Hang on. Wait, we didn't do this last time.
Oh.
Just for today.
Nice. So...
It's the segment. Just... For today.
So this is from the Just for Today book. So it's got...
Just for today.
365 pages. So one for each day of the year. It's endorsed by AA, who we love.
We love the AA.
Love.
Not
really. But yeah, so it's essentially, if you're a recovering alcoholic, addict or whatever, the idea is you open it up on that day in question and you read a little inspirational message to get you through that
day. So what's going to get us through for today?
So today it says, I want to keep in touch with the way I feel in living this life I've been given. At the end of this day, I will take a brief, simple inventory. That was just for today.
It's great, great. Good job.
Moving stuff.
Moving
stuff.
Beautiful. And, just to say, we haven't done a Janet Gerginger for a couple of weeks.
We haven't.
This is your first couple of episodes, Adult Children of Alcoholics, a book by Janet Gerginger Wotitz. She's a PhD. She's amazing.
Titties, get out the way.
There's a fantastic book about basically the 13 characteristics of Adult Children of Alcoholics. We tend to read a little chapter each week to see if that resonates with our listeners and with Lisa and myself, whatever. We've not done one, so we're going to... Maybe we'll do, like, a full episode on Janet or something.
Yeah, maybe we should,
Maybe next week. But if you haven't heard it, go and get it. Adult Children of Alcoholics by Janet Gerginger Wotitz. If you need the deets, it's on the Instagram. But, yeah, maybe we should do a full episode about it at some point because we've been lagging on Janet. So.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for listening, guys. And,
yes, thank you.
We hope on this snowy evening, wherever you are, in this wet, cold Manchester, London... Norwich, Spain, Australia,
reaching.
America. What do you mean reaching?
Reaching.
Girl. So you can email us your thoughts and your stories and your questions and just like anything you want at podcastunscrewed@gmail.com.
You can also send your fan letters to Lisa on there as well.
You know where to find me, my fans. You know my P.O. box.
Or find us on Twitter at UnscrewedPod.
Instagram, Unscrewed Podcast.
And there's a Facebook group, The Unscrewed Podcast.
We can't wait to hear from you.
That sounded really like, I'm not asked. We genuinely want to hear from you.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
We're like, we can't wait to hear from you.
Well, it's not my fault. I've got more fan mail.